good to be back, right?
It is great to be back.
I'm excited about what we're talking about today. We're talking about love. But, you know, maybe I should whisper it because we're not talking about the kind of love that needs to be shouted from the rooftops nor posted on every social media channel.
No, today is about the single, everyday act of ordinary, that good old ordinary love.
Yes.
What about it?
Ordinary love. Yeah.
And how it manifests and it looks different. There's no one way to love, right?
I believe that's the truth that needs to be told.
Let's do it, Tazzy.
There's no one way to do it. Yes. What I have noticed, and you know, I come to social media always with a bit of, I don't know, I'm always a little bit hesitant. And the reason why in our discussions about using it for promotion, self-promotion, business promotion, spreading the word, is a feeling sometimes of over promotion and a feeling that sometimes I believe social media posts can be used to mask other human feelings of non-extraordinariness, ordinariness. Yeah. That, you know, I need to make things larger than life.
Bigger than everything else that is apparent, that is going on. Somehow just being is no longer enough.
No, we need splash and dash. We need
We need sizzle. We need sexy. Oh. I mean, and I, you know, I think I'm pretty good with some marketing, even though I'm still anti-social media. Right? I embrace it because I have to. But I draw the line as it relates to trying to make, I try to draw the line, trying to make self relationships, what we're doing, bigger than life.
Yeah. It's the bigger than life part that gets me. And like you, I see the necessity of it. Even take pleasure in some of it.
I do.
I think it is awesome to get caught up on what other people are doing in their lives, get some sort of updates on what's happening. Certainly keeps families in touch with each other. And all that sort of thing.
My grandmother is one. I mean, literally, it's her way to see Ryan on a regular basis. My family, you know, they love that. And we honor that. But the love that we're talking about today in our conversation is the ordinary love and how
everyday ordinary.
Everyday, that ordinary black love, because that's the only lens that I can operate from right now. Or if we think about other relationships as well, and how we celebrate not the grand, not the extraordinary. You and I were in a conversation with a friend a couple of weeks ago talking about people posting. I think we were all asking the question, people posting their anniversary pics and hiring a videographer probably much to follow them around to document, to make this grand anniversary the pinnacle of what we all measure our anniversaries to now. I'm not saying that was their goal or their intent.
It's certainly the impact.
Okay.
I mean, should I get a photographer to go to St. Lucia with me during a pandemic and show you all the lobster we ate, the outfits I wore, the beach?
Because that
I sound a little spiteful?
I don't know if you sound supportive or like that you co-sign off of it. And I don't, you know, for those who do that with their matching outfits and their videographer.
And the new ring you got.
Oh, gosh.
And the ring you gave. Y'all got new bling.
And we only know this because it's, you know, been such a grand.
You shared the 39 photos from your anniversary trip.
39 photos, 75 links, and you put it in Dropbox for the
And please know, people. Please know. We are laughing because part of it is we look at all the photos, okay? We sit there and look at all 39.
We look at 39 of them. We like them.
We like
we
the
love
photos.
Them. Yeah.
We even lust after some of them, like, wow, that looks amazing.
Maybe, hashtag couple goals.
Couple goals. Maybe we're not in a pandemic because these jokers on a beach. This looks like really amazing. But I think what it does do in terms of impact is makes things like, ooh, my boo got me a Defenbachia houseplant because he know it's my favorite.
Ooh, my boo bought me some socks that's too small, so I will never measure up to what that looks like, right?
And you love them.
And you, I mean, it's like,
and
so that's what
it.
We find ourselves doing.
Yes, comparing, because that's what social media encourages us to do.
The greatest thing. But you and I want to talk about this celebrating of everyday love, everyday black love. And I have to share, because we love bringing in resources and we just don't listen to ourselves. I found this article on Huffington Post, and it says couples who live by the barrage of posting, whether it's their throwback Thursday vacations or the anniversary posts, that we all love to see their new hashtag because their lives have now personified what it means to love. Interestingly enough, Some research suggests that the opposite may be true. Our online posting habits are directly tied to what social scientists call relationship visibility.
Hmm.
That is counter to this idea of everyday love that you and I want to talk about. Relationship visibility, to the extent that everything that we do in these relationships now become its own personification of love.
Hmm.
It's its own persona.
Hmm.
Thoughts?
Big, bold, splashy.
Relationship visibility.
Are they suggesting that the more we post to be more visible, to have our relationships more visible, that we're actually trying to shield a different reality?
Yeah, according to this study, it's saying that that overposting about our partner is actually a mask, or our relationship, or the grandiose effects of it is actually the opposite. It becomes a mask that hides what social scientists and psychologists are calling relationship insecurity. It's also been hypothesized that this is a type and a style of emotional bond that attracts the idea and defines love and who we are and who we seek to be. Mm-hmm. This relationship visibility then becomes the desire and the standard.
Mm-hmm.
But the opposite is actually occurring.
Mm.
There's a level of insecurity. There's a level of avoidant attachment and so forth. An anxious attachment also. So social scientists and therapists are saying that when we create these larger than life celebratory posts, that that's not everyday love. That's not, that's my summation of that article.
I think this is fascinating because the more popular, and it's wildly popular, right, that social media gets, it opens up so many doors for more conversations about mental health.
Correct.
And so, like, the truth of it is that this is another way for us to express the highs and lows of our very human mental health.
Because
journeys.
We're talking about this. This article talks about anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about attachment and detachment, all as in conditions and situation. So you're absolutely correct to bring that. It is.
It's an interesting truth. I've heard of couples getting in arguments because one spouse or friend or boyfriend or whatever, we're talking about all kinds of ships, not just romantic relationships. Every ship you on with another person, we're talking about those ships too, got upset because someone didn't like their photo.
Yeah.
And that became an argument because it wasn't just about the photos, about the visibility and the validation.
Oh, their partner didn't like it?
And just maybe they were too busy to go online that moment.
Right.
But you didn't even like my photo. What does that mean?
And so then we hold that you didn't like something.
Mm-hmm. Meaning you don't like me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Everyday love. Everyday black love.
Everyday
not this
love.
Grand celebratory thing.
Not this public thing necessarily. Oh. I think that's what we're talking about.
The things we do that no one ever has to broadcast about. That's everyday love.
That's everyday love.
Right?
That's everyday love.
Yeah. I don't need you to post anything that of this new car that you got for me.
Mm-hmm.
When you weren't there when I've worked 15 hours a day and not supported me when I walked in the door with my favorite beverage. Right? I mean, I don't know.
I think it is a truth worth telling. Because I think that we should be able to offer one another in this human experience a spectrum of ways to express that which is so important to us. And that is being able to love and being able to expand our love and to being able to be better lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're believing and acting as though the best love is the biggest, splashiest, most expensive, photogenic love.
Right.
Everything else pales in comparison.
Then you know, what does that mean? I mean, how many times have we heard people say, you know, former president and first lady, the Obamas, is the epitome, or Denzel and Paulette as the epitome, the definition of black love.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. I mean, we do hold them at high regard, not just for black love, but who they are and for so many other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But if that is the only picture that we see,
there's a lot we miss. I'm ready to say we don't need February 14th to tell us that we need to love differently or creatively.
No, Jaheim has a whole song about not doing it on February 14th.
We don't.
It's a whole song about it.
We don't need to post
no.
anything in order to say my love is real or valuable or powerful,
right? Or lasting. Right?
But maybe, like, you know, I talk to you all the time. I always quote Brother Stevie. There's a song in which he says, "It's not in the loud, but in the quiet."
Yeah.
So it's in those moments where it's just you and your homegirl talking on the phone. And, you know, all of these relationships in which we are practicing discipline in order to keep them vibrant. All those moments that go unposted to me are just as valuable and memorable as the ones that make us go, wow.
All of the examples of what really counts, the things that we never share.
The things that we never share, but we feel them.
That's the everyday love. That's some powerful everyday love.
I saw it with my grandparents.
Yeah. How so?
I loved how, wow, and as grandkids, we were like, that's not fair. My grandfather, we go visit who we call Grand Umi and Grand Abu, the Muslim name for mother and father, throw a grand on there. But so Grand Abu, our grandfather, would make fried fish and grits for my grandmother, who he called pet.
Oh, as in it was a term of endearment.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like it totally like was, as in she's precious, as in she's an emotional support.
Yes. Yes.
So he called her pet. And her name was Addie, but he called her pet and he would make her that breakfast. He would make her that breakfast. So we would come over later and there would be pieces of fish and grits still waiting on the stove. I'm like, can we have some? No, the cereal's for y'all.
That's
and the potato
chips. Just for my grandma. I mean, for his
that's
pet.
Just, that's just for my pet. That's for my woman. Yeah. You all get cereal. Oatmeal if you're lucky. Those big boxes of like generic potato chips that we would put ketchup on and pretend they were french fries. But for his pet, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Everyday love.
Everyday love. It was the fish and grits.
Yeah.
That nobody could touch. It was just for her.
Why do you think we seek out that which is beyond the ordinary acts of, I don't want to say random acts, but just the everyday acts of what love may look like, right? I don't know if we're seeking out something that is beyond what is right in front of us, or we're seeking out something that is going to make our situations better? Or I don't know.
No, I mean, it's a great question, Andrea. I think we have lost how sacred the ordinary is. And when that very ordinary thing disappears, you suddenly begin to praise it, right?
It's I think like, that is true in every walk.
It's like we forget.
We forget the ordinary. We forget just making the team. We forget all of the, I had an ordinary day. Mm-hmm. You know, like I didn't, you know, excel at everything. I even find myself saying when I talk to certain people, you know, they're like, so where are you operating? I'm like, oh man, I'm at a B minus. And that is like the, oh, I'm operating at a B minus. And my gosh, if I say I'm operating at a C, then stop the world, right? Like, as if that's the worst thing in the world, because I must always seek to operate at this A. And I think we do that if every ship and relationships that we're in.
Must be exceptional.
It must be.
And yet, there's a beautiful ordinariness we're missing.
Yeah.
The best way to miss your ordinary
is to do what?
Is not, to have not, it disappear. And suddenly you're saying, man, if I could just take a walk. And before you're asking, what are we going to do for our date? I thought we'd go for a walk. A walk? Well, twist your ankle.
And see what happens.
Right? The first thing you want to do is take a walk, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I thought we'd have an evening in. Like, you're like, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Be hungry. That's what you want to do. Happens. I would love to have a meal at home.
Have a snow day. Have an ice storm, right? I struggle with this idea of ordinary and getting lost between what's ordinary and what's just settling.
Ooh.
Is there something wrong with wanting more?
No.
Right? And so when you think about ordinary and then settling, I struggle sometimes between
That's true.
That's me standing in my truth.
Stand in that truth.
Yeah.
Stand in that truth. Yeah. If I wish to do more than just take walks, do I swallow the desire to also want to go on a Sunday drive?
Yeah.
Do I say that too? Maybe what we're talking about is offering people dimensions and the spectrum of loving, that it doesn't just exist over here in the big and the exceptional. We must include the small and the quiet.
And who gets to define and describe what that looks like?
That's the gift of your ship.
Yeah.
Whatever relationship you're in, that's the gift of it. So let's be authentic and have some real conversations.
So what does that look like?
It looks like maybe asking a question, hey, when do you most feel loved?
Wow.
What makes you feel loved?
Do you
How can I love you better?
Do you think people really will ask these questions of their other partners, Desi?
Uh-huh, I do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Apart from a therapist telling you two to do, go home and practice and do this.
I have cultivated circles of friends with whom this kind of inquiry is common.
Yeah.
Now, everybody doesn't enjoy it, but we can all say that the result of the question
I definitely agree.
Is infinitely valuable. Because if
to
you say this
parties.
To both parties.
To both.
And I think it does catch people off guard. I have an awesome, awesome therapist who says conversation is a skill, Tasneem. It's a muscle you got to build. So if someone's not willing or used to, accustomed to answering a question like, tell me when you most feel loved. What can I do to make you feel more loved? And that person kind of goes, what's going on here? It's not because they don't necessarily have an answer. It's that we're not necessarily used to going beneath the surface of things.
Yeah.
We're used to just getting big flashy gifts and thinking you should be satisfied.
Correct.
And so what we're saying is, like, if we're offering the idea of dimension and spectrum, that means you will know that I am equally touched by you knowing what kind of preserves I like on my biscuit.
Or that I don't eat biscuits, period.
Oh, that.
Right. I mean,
you know my shoe size.
Because you are familiar.
And because I've asked and told.
I'm becoming aware and I'm anticipating your needs. Because, see, that's what
ordinary
looks
about it.
Like.
Yes.
Anticipating my needs I have to say, I need this help. I'm even thinking all ships, right? I'm even thinking about situations and work environments. Mm. And you can clearly see, looking at an org chart, that I have 15 projects on my plate.
Mm-hmm.
But to have someone around you anticipate, what can I do to take something off of you? Or I know this is a crazy time for you. So it's not just one relationship that we're talking about.
Yep.
We're talking about celebrating the everyday and ordinary love.
And all kinds of ships.
And what that looks like and how we can do better and be better at that. And standing in our truth and saying that everything doesn't have to be at this grandiose level.
It doesn't.
But even in, again, my own truth, I can still anticipate and expect a certain amount of whatever that looks like. Whatever that ordinary looks like for me.
Mm-hmm.
I get to define my own ordinary.
You can. I think the expecting, anticipating is a beautiful feeling. I think when it doesn't come, we can ask ourselves, did I let it be known?
Huh, interesting.
Because
interesting.
Nobody's reading minds over here.
Yeah.
And so if we just rely on social media, the truth is we think it has to be big.
Yes.
And for some people, if they can't do big, they do nothing.
They do nothing.
But if they knew that you'd be happy with a Tupac printed umbrella.
What? Is there such a thing? Like who?
But imagine they thought they had to give you a diamond ring and you're like, I would be happy with a Tupac T-shirt from the college crib. Over in North Nashville. I thought you were like a Range Rover kind of woman. I'm that, but I'm also this.
I'll take that T-shirt.
Okay. Yeah. Did you know Frosties are 99 cents at Wendy's this week? And you know what? Two for one. And you got me a vanilla and chocolate.
What?
That's love too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, Tasneem. It's the ordinary.
It's the ordinary.
Yeah.
And so to express to people that we have tastes and desires, we have preferences that run a spectrum, and we're able to receive and give on a spectrum, and we're able to do it quietly and out loud, we can both end this whole thing.
We can do both.
Mm-hmm.
We can do both. And that's what healthy relationships look like. That's what healthy love looks like.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth right there.
That's what a healthy person.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can do both and be both and exist, and we talk about going in and out and existing and being in more than just one, right? I can post my trip to Maryland with my family and all the amazing food that we prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also have moments that you have no idea what it means to just be around these group of family members and these Black girls that I love in my family, right? These women. So we can do both.
We can do both. I've heard you talk about something called the good old days.
Yeah.
And no details in your version of your good old days was flashy.
Nothing about it was. Nothing
And you're
about
like,
it.
We were the happiest we'd ever been.
Yeah, in the good old days.
In the good old days.
Yeah, things had that half of a salary, you know, didn't need five bedrooms.
No.
There are points in times that we have to think about what this grand gesture of love looks like.
I think we have to also tell the truth that love exists and is activated by mundane, everyday stuff.
And I'll stand in my truth again and say mundane without settling. And being,
without settling.
Without settling. Because I think there's something beautiful about relishing, as you said, can we just go for a walk in the park?
Mm-hmm.
And then there are times, as you said, the full spectrum of what that ordinary love for me may be a play on Broadway.
Could be.
I mean, it doesn't have to be grand.
No.
For me, that's
or something. Maybe it will one day.
Yeah, who knows?
But we're stuck over here thinking that the only thing that is of value is that which makes a person feel a little bit, competitive.
Yeah.
A little bit like they're missing out.
So what do we want our listeners to, and our friends to join us in this exploration of settling for, not settling, I'm sorry, celebrating.
Celebrating
Let's the give everyday love.
Everyday
what does
love.
That look like?
I remember you said test. Yeah, what does it look like? Give me some examples. I have some examples.
Give us some, please.
Oh, man. Some of them come from things I am pursuing now in my present life and things I've actually witnessed. Picture. Little Tess Neem, second of five children, all of us stair steps. On a plastic-covered couch in a living room somewhere in central New York. My parents are on another couch. I guess that would be a love seat. My father is laying down with his head in my mother's lap. She has a safety pin plucking out the ingrown hairs in his beard. That memory is about 40 years old.
And you bring it up today.
Because it was
the
so
ordinary,
precious.
Precious.
I mean, they did such a good job of being like, y'all children sit over there.
So if I'm envisioning this,
you. She was tending to him.
Yeah, Muna and Brother Jamal
yes.
on their own separate uh-huh. love seat.
Yes.
And she's preening.
His head is in her lap.
Yeah.
His head is in her lap.
Yeah.
And she's plucking out the ingrown. I didn't know what they were doing. I just knew like, And I don't know that I asked any questions, but the imprint is that. That's what love looks like.
That's
it looks like caretaking.
Looks like. Yeah.
I didn't use that word.
But you saw it and you knew it.
Nurturing.
Yeah.
She was taking care of
So
her.
What does
it look? It looked gentle.
And if we could give some words and help people understand. So the everyday love looks like what?
Caring. Just
caring. Nurturing.
What do you
all
need?
Those things.
What do you need? What do you need?
Asking?
My beard is itchy. Come over here. Let me see what I can do about it.
Hmm. Yeah. This is interesting.
Not hard.
Yeah.
Not hard at all. How about you? I have a friend. She was getting into gardening. She comes home. Husband has built her raised beds. Thank you.
Wow.
Another friend getting into gardening. She comes home. Her roommate has tilled a plot of grass.
Anticipation.
A plot, yeah, for
See,
the garden.
It's the anticipation of
yeah.
supporting something that you know that I love or like. You've listened enough. And so that everyday ordinary...
Nice. You went to the Home Depot, yeah. rented a tiller.
Yeah. Did they post it?
No.
It was just a joke.
She just told me.
She told you about it. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that any of those things would qualify in this big bombastic sense of love that we have going on. But these are like very precious ways of tending
it
to a person.
It does qualify if yeah. it means something to that person who mm-hmm. shared it, your friend who shared it with you.
Yeah.
That's the only qualifier that we should be seeking anyway, isn't it?
To bring contentment and the feeling. What makes you feel loved?
When
an
are
act
you?
Of service?
That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe we want people to tell us, when do you feel the most loved?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
When do you feel
that
the most,
every day?
I love that question.
When do you feel the most loved?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even Valentine's Day. Look at us. Huh?
When do you feel the most loved? And when we're asking this question about the everyday, ordinary kind of love.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's good. We hope that you will join us in this conversation as we continue to wrestle and try to give understanding and language to living the everyday being and loving mm-hmm. in every day. And everything doesn't have to be grand.
Everything, but some of it can be.
Yes, it can.
Because that's the truth.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you, all. We've had a good time talking about love. We're hoping to hear more about how you feel it and give it and receive it. And once again, this has been Truth Be Told.